So the bill is passed the Senate, and what it endeavors to do is share in a local property tax that has been collected at the regional level, basically the county level, and shared up to this point entirely with the traditional public schools in the state of Michigan. So we have six county ISDs that are levying these millages. And to this point, the revenue from those millages is just shared among the traditional public school districts in their region, and the charters don't receive any of those resources. This bill would change the allocation so that the charters get a piece of that pie.
How much of a piece?
Well, it depends based on the amount of the millage that's collected in each of the six ISDs in the state. For example, in Wayne County, the millage raises about $80 million per year, and the requirement in the law is that these resources get shared on a per pupil basis, so it's an equal distribution. Currently, it's about $375 per kid across all the traditional districts. If you fold the charters into that allocation, then the per pupil allocation goes down to about $290. So it's about a 24% reduction for the traditional districts that are currently receiving the money in Wayne County.
So the upshot is, if this passes, we could see charter schools, some of whom are run by for-profit companies, getting public money.
Well, yes. I mean, it's not going to the, it's going for the education of those students enrolled in the charter schools. And we got to remember, charters are public schools in the eyes of the Michigan Constitution and the eyes of the state law. So these are public schools. The operators are, as you point out, in some cases, private companies. We also have private companies that are helping provide services to traditional public schools as well.
What are Democrats saying about this?
Well, they are howling to a large degree, saying that this is stealing from the public schools resources that have been set aside for public school, traditional public school districts. And they are. The law was set up so that only traditional public schools could share in those resources. I would remind you, however, though, this tax and the authorization for this tax goes back to Proposal A, yes, 25 years ago. And it was kind of put in as a way to retain a local choice in raising revenues for our local schools. If you recall, Proposal A moved all of the revenue-raising responsibility for public schools from the local level, the property tax specifically, up to the state level and state-level taxes. And in that compromise and that change, the locals asked for some ability to raise revenues to meet needs that they saw coming up. And so they put in place this regional tax. And at the time, we also authorized charters, but charters 25 years ago weren't envisioned to be as big a player in the public school environment as they are today.
And certainly, in fact, you cited Wayne County, what, some more than 56,000 students in Wayne County attending charter schools.
Oh, exactly. And you know, the Wayne County recently passed this millage in 2016. Another large county that also has a fairly large charter presence is Kent County. They passed the millage in 2017 here. And so with those larger counties kind of passing the millages, I think the charter schools said, hey, there's an equity issue here. Our students are public school students too, and they should share in these resources. And I'm probably convinced that that's the reason that prompted the change in law, or the proposed change in law.
How, on a, like a daily and a weekly and a monthly basis, Craig, what do schools use the money from these enhancement millages for?
Well, the state law really doesn't put any restrictions on the use of these resources. They are for general operating purposes. All of the ISDs, again, have to distribute them on a per pupil basis, and they're going to pay for lights, heating buildings, teacher salaries, books, supplies, whatever operating costs our schools are incurring. I would note that one of the counties that levy this millage, Monroe, and they were one of the first counties to do so, going back to 1997 when the law was authorized, allocates the money specifically for technology needs across the ISD. So think of computers, think of personalized learning, all the technology that is in the classroom. They've decided to use these resources specifically for that purpose.
So it's really up to them. But we have to wonder, how might public school districts make up this amount of money they lose, particularly thinking of already strapped school districts who are struggling to fill teacher positions?
Definitely. Losing resources is a challenge, and districts are going to have to figure out a way, if this bill were to pass, to maybe patch those holes. I would point out that the amount that's raised on a per pupil basis, although important, is not super large. So we're talking in Wayne County, which is the millage that raises the most, at about $375 per kid. Some other counties, it's more in the range of $170 to $200 per kid. So when we're talking about total per pupil funding in the state, outside of just the foundation grant, and looking at the total picture of, you know, between $12,000, $13,000 per kid, $300 is not a huge sum. It's an important sum, mm-hmm. but it's not a huge sum overall.
And the bill's sponsor, Republican Senator David Hildenbrand, says he does not expect this to affect existing millages, just whenever a renewal comes up before voters or a new millage. Does the language of the bill make that very clear?
That was an interesting point that was raised in the debate about this bill. And as I reread it, and again, I'm not a practicing attorney, I'm a public policy guy, but I can't see where this only applies to renewals or new millages. It appears that the language is written that the next time the revenue is collected, and if this law were put on the books, then the distribution would change and charters would take a piece of the existing millages.
Now, are there any legal challenges that we might see arise from this legislation?
Again, not being a practicing attorney, I'm not privy to those, but I see some concerns with this bill, and it as it relates to the authorization for the millages, especially if there's not a provision put in as the bill works its way through the House that would only make this apply to renewals or new millages. And that concern relates to what voters, when they cast the ballot to approve these millages in these six counties, they were told that the money was going to be used for very specific allocation to their traditional districts. And even though the law changed and it's the province of the legislature to do that, the voters were told this was only going to be shared with those traditional districts and not with charters. So I do see a concern from a taxpayer perspective in what they voted for in terms of approving this millage.
Craig, what's the impetus that you see behind this? Why now is money being, you know, siphoned off for charter schools? What's at play here?
Well, I do see the size of Wayne County and Kent County and the size of these millages being a key motivator for this change. Again, Wayne County will generate about $80 million with their millage, and Kent County about $20 million. So that's $100 million that's going to be invested in public education. And I think charters were looking at this and saying, you know, we want our kids to be treated the same as the traditional districts in terms of the resource base. I think there's a larger question at play here, and maybe kind of just pivoting a little bit on the $100 million is charters and traditional districts are saying, you know, the state isn't stepping up and providing the resources we need to operate our schools, and we're going out and raising those revenues locally. And maybe, hey, state, if you're not going to do your job, we're going to do it for you and raise the resources necessary to run the schools and provide the services that our citizens want.
So what should we watch for as this goes through the House?
Well, I'll point out the political dynamic is set up the same way in the House as in the Senate. The Republicans control the House. This was a bill that was championed by a Republican from the west side of the state. My guess is that it's probably going to pass in the House. Whether or not there'll be changes to meet some of these Democrats' concerns about retroactivity and the sharing of the resources, we'll see. The governor hasn't weighed in. I don't know if it's made his radar screen yet, so time will tell.
Craig Thiel, Research Director at Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Craig, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.